Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We have in one of our readings for this night the suffering servant from Isaiah 53. And it is definitely one of those passages where if I did not tell you that it was from the Old Testament, you would think it was simply a description written in the Gospels of Jesus and what he had done. Give consideration once again to some of those words. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Surely this has to be in the gospel. Not the Old Testament. But of course, we remember that it is the same author throughout all of the books. It is the Holy Spirit. And he carries these words to the prophets of old and the apostolic writers of the new. This is so clearly Jesus. He is the Messiah, the Christ that they had been praying for and waiting for. He was oppressed. He was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people, he was stricken, and they made his grave with the wicked. But there was no violence in his mouth. He had done no thing deceitfully, and yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. His soul is an offering for sin. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. It is incredible to me that anybody can read those words and not believe that Jesus is the Christ, the one that had been promised. He poured out his soul unto death. He was numbered with the transgressors. He bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors, that they would not perish, said the Lord Almighty. And we see, as Luke records it, that from his cross, Jesus prays that the Father would forgive them, for they know not what they do. Praying for the ones that are mocking and jeering him, just as Isaiah had prophesied, making intercession for those transgressors. Holy Wednesday is the day that we typically remember that Judas has gone to betray him, agreeing for 30 pieces of silver to turn in the rabbi that he had studied under, the one that maybe he had hoped to be the Messiah. Lent this year has been very filled with spiritual warfare in many fronts. And we see the same was true for Judas in our reading from Luke. Maybe you felt that this Lent. Maybe you know someone or have a family member or friend who really struggled this year. That the devil's lies so invaded their mind and their heart that they believed that God couldn't truly love them. That they were not worth the blood of Christ. Perhaps they began to believe the lies of the devil that they weren't really to be counted with his children. Maybe the devil sent his horde to pursue them, to make them scared, afraid. Maybe the devil sent people into your lives that tried to convince you out of the church, Satan entered Judas, St. Luke writes. Luke gives an incredible perspective. Like Mark, he is not one of the 12. This is rather given to him solely by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit and by his firsthand eyewitnesses. Luke records not only that Satan entered Judas, that we see very clearly that the devil is behind so many of these attacks. Just today, I was reminded by reading the news that our governor believes that Wisconsin values include putting girls in danger in their bathrooms and in their locker rooms. That is not from God. That instead is from the devil. We should care enough about girls to protect them. And I know that you sitting here care enough about girls that you want them protected. And they should be. But the devil works hard. The Lord said to Peter, "Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you that you may be sifted as wheat. But I prayed for you that your faith should not fail." The devil entered Judas. The devil was trying to sift Peter like wheat. And he tries to convince you that you do not belong here. That you do not belong in a place where you can hear the word of God, where you can be built up in the faith, where your sin can be torn down and you can be brought to newness of life. The devil would have you believe that an image of Jesus is somehow wicked or blasphemous. And yet, it shows us Jesus. It is not our God, but it is an image of the God who died for our sins. The devil works so hard, but he cannot win the victory, for Jesus Christ has secured it. Jesus said to Peter, "When you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren." When you have returned to me, Peter, because before the cock crows, you will deny me three times. But I am praying for you, and I have prayed for you. And when you return, strengthen your brethren. Jesus would go on to say, "This is your hour, the power of darkness." Judas was simply doing God's will, but in a terrible, evil way. Ultimately, it would cause him to reject Jesus as his hope of salvation, and he would suffer for eternity in hell. Luke also records, I think, a very detrimental moment that the others have not up until this point. We have heard over and over again that Peter would deny him three times. And each time we heard about his denial three times. But in Luke's gospel, Luke includes this. After Peter says, "Man, I do not know what you are saying," immediately, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed, and the Lord looked and turned at Peter. When you sin, our Lord looks at you too. But it is to remind you that he is gracious, and that he loves you, and that he has prayed for you too. Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny three times." And Peter went out and wept bitterly. Peter would repent. Peter would be forgiven and restored. It is incredible that they accuse Jesus of something very similar to what they accused Socrates of in the year 399 BC. Perverting the nation, perverting the youth. Why? Socrates was a pagan, and yet Socrates denied the pantheon of the Greek gods. He was such a lover and pursuer of wisdom that he came to understand that there truly was only one God over all of creation. And by teaching that, they had him put to death 399 years, presumably before the birth of Christ, for perverting the youth, for perverting the nation. Jesus gave a glimpse of hope. He tore down sin, but gave hope in a life that was theirs because of what he would be doing for them. Jesus was not perverting the nation. Jesus was speaking the truth. As he is on his way to his cross, we see his great love for those women and those girls who did also follow him. And he looks at them as they weep, and he says, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children." The day would come, the year AD 70, when Jerusalem would be destroyed, the temple would be destroyed. It would be a terrible time for them still in that land. But even then, those who died in the hope that Jesus is the Christ were saved. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Jesus would have us remember that we are forgiven because our Lord proclaims it. Luke includes another thing that is not included in the other ones, and I think it's helpful because sometimes it's used as one of those contradictions that we've talked about so far. As people try to say, see, the Bible clearly isn't true. It's filled with contradictions. We had heard before that both criminals jeered at Jesus. And in Luke's gospel, the one says, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He rebukes the other criminal. See, contradiction. See, the Bible can't be true. Have you ever had your opinion changed on anything in your life? Now, of course, Pastor, we're 21st century Americans. Our opinions can't change because we go into echo chambers and only talk to people who believe exactly what we believe all the time. Of course, if you take the time to sit and you talk to people, your opinions and your mindset can change. If you take the time to study God's word more and more, you will find that your life submits more and more to what he has to say. So if at the beginning of this six-hour period, both criminals jeered at him and mocked him, surely by watching this man, ask that the Heavenly Father would forgive those who mocked and jeered him. Surely the Holy Spirit can work in his heart too. Do you not fear God? Seeing you are under the same condemnation, we indeed justly, we receive the due reward for our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong. And he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And you know the words. Jesus said to him, today you will be with me in paradise. All of us, at some point in our life, have mocked or jeered at Jesus. Perhaps it was a slip of the tongue, a vain word from our heart, using the name of Jesus in vain, or calling upon God to cast his condemnation upon someone in vain, in anger, without thinking. Perhaps we have lived as though we matter most instead of him. Jesus prays for us. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Dear Christian, let the Holy Spirit lead your life. You should know what you are doing. You should follow his word. But the promise is true for you if you stay in this faith, if you let the forgiveness of sins wash over you every single day. Today, that day, you will be with him in paradise. May it be a godly death, or may it be the day of Jesus' return. The church sings. Ye who think of sin but lightly, nor suppose the evil great, here may view its nature rightly, here its guilt may estimate. Mark the sacrifice appointed, see who bears the awful load. 'Tis the Word, the Lord's anointed, Son of Man and Son of God. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.